Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. Father, this we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on we must know and understand the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Again, we must know and understand the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. So if you found Hebrews 11, please go to verse 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So it tells us clearly here in scripture that faith is what moves God. Amen. And is what pleases our Heavenly Father. From our past teaching, we have established by the word of God that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, as believers, we are certainly to pray, to worship, to study, and fellowship because we are instructed by the word of God to do so. But in terms of priority, faith is the number one subject or obedience to God's word we should know and understand. And let me give you an example. It's like you have just finished a week on the job and Saturday is right around the corner. And you have a list of chores that's been given to you by your wife that she would like for you to complete. So doing everything decently and in order, you prioritize these chores. You have to, one, wash the car, cut the grass, move boxes from the garage, replace light and clean the garage, and go to the record shop. Now, the first thing you would do is to check with your wife to see if any of these duties she wants done right away, or if so, you can prioritize them, even though they are, all of them are important, but some can wait if you don't accomplish them on Saturday, or if you ran out of time attempting to do them. It is the same with the principles of God. And because He is a God of order, you want to make sure you are in line with His principles, or prioritizing is important. And faith is at the top of our Christian duties and responsibilities. We are not dismissing any of the other obligations, but we are talking about priority. Amen. Now, we are discussing principle number four, which is we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Righteousness is simply to be in right standing with Christ. To be in right standing with Christ. It is something that you cannot work for. It is a gift given to the new believer at his new birth in Christ. Amen? It doesn't matter what you think about righteousness. You don't have to think that you are righteous, and it doesn't matter whether you think I am righteous or not. I am righteous because my Father told me I am righteous. I am only concerned about what my Father says. He and He alone is the only one who purchased my redemption. He is the one who made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. He and He alone holds the whole world in His hand. I am only concerned about what He thinks. If you are a Christian, you are made righteous through Jesus Christ. What other people think and what they say should not make any difference to you. What should matter to you is what God's word says about you. And He says that if you are born again, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. Please turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 16. And please go to verse number 7. It says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. Does your ways please our Heavenly Father? Maybe that's the reason you are constantly getting attacked by Satan and his demons, because your ways are not pleasing to our Lord. Now, during the 1960s, we had a lot of social unrest in our country that dealt with black versus white. And we had a leader by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King, who was also a reverend, and he was head of the organization SCLC, which stands for the Southern Christians Leadership Conference. This organization was founded to protect and protest against racist Jim Crow laws aimed at non-whites for equal rights in America. Suffice to what people thought of the organization and its policy, but because Dr. King decided to lead the SCLC using God's principles, many white people who really didn't like Dr. King made peace with him, and he was able to get certain legislations passed and prevented harm from coming to many Americans because Dr. King's ways pleased the Lord. And that is what I am banking on. Glory to God. I am banking on what our Father says about us, not even what I think about me. What I do is say what our Father says about us. I'm righteous. You are righteous. That's what you call the power of positive confession. After we say what our Father says about us, we should begin to feel righteous. I did not say perfect. I did not say flawless, but I did say righteous. In other words, we have a right standing with the Father. We can go to the Father anytime we want to, and we can get exactly what we want from Him. Please go to your Bibles to John chapter 15. Again, that's John chapter 15, verse number 7. And it says this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now notice, it did not say what God desires for you, but what you desire for you. It says you can ask whatever things you desire. Amen. So, and it said it will be done for you. Amen. Please remember that you are righteous. Now let's look at James chapter 5. Again, that's James chapter 5, verse number 16. And it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And then it says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Let's read that part of the verse again. It says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man," that man that is in right standing with God, "avails much." Amen. You need to keep and maintain your righteousness conscience. Amen. You must need to keep and maintain your righteousness consciousness. See, that's the problem. Many people don't feel righteous. And since they don't feel righteous, they don't dare pray because they don't think that God will hear them. Learn to confess your sins. One reason that you don't feel righteous is because you haven't confessed your sins. You may have the guilt of sin hanging over your head, and all you have to do is confess your sins and they are done away with. Amen. Please go to 1 John chapter 1. Again, that's 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. It tells us, "If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Amen. It says if we confess our sins, that's all we have to do. And many people don't do that. That's why that sin is still hanging over them. What does the word unrighteousness mean? Well, it is the word righteous with the prefix un, which means non-righteous. So the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all non-righteousness. It is sin that keeps you from perceiving yourself or feeling that you are righteous. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he will forgive us of those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not part, but all unrighteousness. Now, let me give you an example. Say, for instance, you have just baked some cookies and your granddaughter walks into the kitchen and asks if she could have some cookies. But you tell her no because it's too close to dinner time. She can have some after dinner. A little while later, you are in the other part of the house, but you hear what sounds like the lid of the cookie jar. As you walk back into the kitchen, you see your daughter atop the step stool with her hand in the cookie jar. Yes, you caught her with her hand in the cookie jar. In a somewhat stern tone, you say to your granddaughter, "I thought I told you you couldn't have any cookies yet, because it will spoil your dinner." Your granddaughter starts crying and runs into her bedroom. Now, what just has happened? Fellowship has been broken. The relationship hasn't changed, but the sense of a parent-child relationship has been broken because of this incident, sin. Regardless of how grandmother our granddaughter feels, they are still grandmother and granddaughter. But the granddaughter has lost her sense of righteousness or right standing with her grandmother because of her sin. Now, a little while later, your granddaughter comes into the kitchen and puts her arms around you and says, "Grandmommy, I'm sorry for eating the cookies. Please forgive me." Now, being the sweet grandmother you are, you tell her, "That's all right, sweetheart. I love you. Next time, just do as I ask, okay?" Now, what has just taken place? Their fellowship, which was broken by the granddaughter being disobedient, has now been restored. And the child's sense of righteousness or right standing is restored, because she has asked for forgiveness and grandmama has forgiven her. That's what happens when we sin. We just go to our Heavenly Father and ask for forgiveness. All you have to do is confess it. Tell God that you have sinned. Tell him what you have done and then forget it. Put it on him and he will wipe it away. But let me give you a heads up, just in case you didn't know. Even if you don't confess your sins to our Father, he still knows that you sinned. Amen. What he is doing is giving you the opportunity to get your slate clean. Amen. Now, please go with me to the book of Jeremiah 31. Again, that's Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're going to read verses 31 through 34. And it says this: "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." A what kind of covenant? A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. "And according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, says the Lord, knowing the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and their sin I will remember no more." Now let me give, now that was Old Testament. Now let me give you a New Testament, because I know you something saying, "Oh, that was Old Testament. We're no longer under the Old Testament. We're under this new covenant that God spoke about in Jeremiah 31, 31, when he says, "I will make a new covenant." So let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 12. And it says, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless debts I will remember no more. Now notice in both scriptures, God is telling us that our sins he will remember no more. Now notice, God did not say he could not remember them. He just says he would not remember them. So what is your problem? What are you waiting on? Confess your sins to him, and he will remember them no more. Amen? Now, my final scripture for this teaching on principle number 4, please go to John chapter 2. Again, that's John chapter 2, verse number 1. And it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ, the righteous. Amen. So we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus the Christ. Amen. See, our ultimate goal is just don't sin. That's right. Just don't sin. When you don't sin, you will never lose your sense of righteousness consciousness. Let me repeat that. When you don't sin, you will never lose your sense of righteousness consciousness. God says, don't sin. Praise God for his mercy and his grace. The next part of that verse tells us, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hallelujah. Now see, an advocate is someone who stands in your stead. He's like a lawyer or a counselor who pleads your case. Amen. So if you sin, just go to him and say, Father, I'm sorry, I've sinned. Forgive me. And as soon as you say that, he has forgiven you. Amen. As soon as you say that, he has forgiven you. As a believer, you have total access to the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and to all the Father has. Amen. We have a right to everything he has. To receive from him, all you have to do is go to his word. Amen. The only reason we have been such easy targets for Satan is because we have not known our rights and privileges in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he could easily usurp authority over us. Because the Bible says we have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Now that's found in Luke 10:19. We must find out what the word has to say about the things of life and then walk in line with them. That's all we have to do. We must renew our minds and put the forces of righteousness to work in our lives. If you are led by what you see or how you feel, you will fail. Let me repeat that, because a lot of people, they are emotional. They do things just because of their emotions. But if you are led by what you see or how you feel, you will fail. When you lean on righteousness in Jesus Christ, you will know and understand what belongs to you, and you won't lay down under sickness or any other attack from Satan. You will go to the word concerning healing, receive for yourself, and walk in it because it is the word of your Father. Amen. Remember, principle number 4 is you must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Amen. Now, we are ready to discuss principle number 5, and that is, you must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. You must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. But before we begin to discuss this important principle, let's take a quick look at the first 4 principles we have been studying. Principle number 1, you must know and understand the reality of God's word. God's word is spirit. It is life. You must get into the word, continue in the word, digest it, and get it down in your spirit. Principle number 2, you must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. You must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. You have been redeemed from the powers of darkness and from the demonic authority. Amen? Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time for today's teaching, but please join us next week. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.